You're listening to the Health Powered Productivity Podcast by RaderCo. I'm Marcy Rader, founder and chief productivity lead. This podcast aims to give you and your team bite-sized, time-saving, focus-boosting, health-improving tips you can implement right away. Stepping onto the TEDx stage was a unique experience for me as a speaker and a roller coaster of emotions. Whether you're a speaker or not, this podcast episode will give you a glimpse into the intense process of preparing and delivering such an important talk and the invaluable lessons I earned along the way. And it may be the one podcast episode that runs over 15 minutes, but I'll do my best to keep it tight. I usually just record these in one take, so we'll see how it goes. First, a quick intro to TED, which stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. TED Talks are 18 minutes or less of a topic that is an idea worth spreading. No TED speaker gets paid, not even Bill Gates, and they tend to be very well-known people. TEDx is under the umbrella of TED and is focused often on a local geographic area or a university. The event often has a theme, and sometimes you need to live in or near the area or have some kind of tie to it. I applied for TEDx NC State and was accepted due to my tie of speaking twice yearly to their park scholars on the topics of focus and distraction and email. University TEDx events are run by students, and we are assigned student curators rather than a speaker coach. This TEDx talk that I did on April 12th differed from my usual. It was very personal and vulnerable and not what I usually speak about. I am more of a how speaker. I teach and I train and I give you a little bit of the why, but I focus on the how to save you the time, energy, and focus. This was 15 minutes focused on the why I do what I do, how I came to have the beliefs about it that I have, and it was so personal. I'm only on LinkedIn and I tend to stick for the most part just to business. And so sharing personal stories about some of my epic failures felt like I was looking for attention a little bit. And that is not me. If you subscribe to my Weekender Snapshot, I have a personal message in there. And that's about as much of me as I put out there. But I knew my story was many people's because so much of it is my clients' stories too. Something else that's different is that I'm not a speaker that has a script, and I'm more of a workshop training type of speaker where I ask the audience a lot of questions and get their feedback and get the engagement that way. With the storytelling and short format of TEDx, I needed it to be rehearsed. And some TEDx events even ask for the script and ask you not to deviate at all. And I've only memorized talks a couple of times for other events, and it's much more challenging for me. I'd probably not be a very good actress. And with TED, if you even go a few seconds over 18 minutes, then they just cut you. The first thing I did was hired Helen Moses, which is our RaderCo vocal communication specialist. And she is a former TEDx Raleigh coach, and I had her help me with my script. And I wrote it and she helped, you know, tweak it throughout the few months. In January, I rehearsed the script with my two student curators, my Speakers with Impact Mastermind, and then three times with storytelling expert Kelly Swanson. And each time I took their feedback and continued to tweak it. Then I presented to my former Toastmasters group, Born Toastmasters, and they are just made up of professional speakers. And they were kind enough to allow me to test it out, even though I'm no longer a member, and their feedback was so invaluable. And I shifted an entire section of my talk based on what they said. And so I highly recommend, if you're any kind of talk like this, that you ask different types of groups to give you feedback. I made a point not to rehearse in front of any of my friends because I wanted the talk to surprise them when they saw it. And some of them had been with me during parts of my life I was speaking about, or they were mentioned in the talk itself. And I didn't even rehearse in front of my husband. So the rehearsal part, I rehearsed for 15 to 30 minutes every day, 7 days a week, and then an hour a day in the last month. And I would spend 5 minutes on just one section and just practice that section over and over for 5 minutes. Then I would spend another 5 minutes reading the section before it, and then that section. And then I would spend 5 minutes reading the section after it, you know, that section and then the section after it. And then I would do the entire talk. And I would rehearse in my infrared sauna because it's a two-person sauna. It's pretty small, but my husband couldn't hear me. I would rehearse after I did a set of pull-ups or did some burpees, so my heart rate would be up in case I was nervous. I would rehearse while I was walking around my neighborhood, so I would be talking to myself and probably scared my neighbors, and sometimes I would rehearse in the car. The most important thing I did for rehearsal was rent an Airbnb cottage for 2 nights, about 75 minutes from my house. It was on a farm with a back deck, and I specifically looked for a place that did not have other houses around it so I wouldn't feel nervous if I wanted to go outside, or not nervous, but feel like people might be looking at me if I wanted to go outside and practice. And I had contacted this the couple that owned it, and because their house is next door and it just looked like a great big property. And they said, you know, it'd be quiet. They promised, you know, it'd be quiet. I met them. They were lovely. They were actually really interested in me rehearsing my TEDx there. And it had a back deck, so it was perfect for pretending it was my stage. And then between the 45-minute rehearsal sprints, I would walk their property, sometimes rehearsing during that too, which was about 3/4 of a mile. And then I spent day two creating the workshop to accompany the TEDx, because that TEDx talk, the 15-minute talk, is now a keynote as well. And the it has a breakout or a workshop to accompany it. I didn't add slides until about a month before because I wasn't sure if I would use them, but enough people told me it would add to it. And I only added a few, but I agree that they were necessary. In the last week, I rehearsed an hour a day, and on the day of the event, I went through it about 4 to 6 times. I wasn't worried that it would seem canned, because there were still some lines or words I would ad-lib a little, and not too much though, but because I reviewed my script so many times, I didn't want a single extra line that wasn't necessary or didn't add to the story, and I really wanted it to come in under 15 minutes. I feel like when people see a video of even, you know, like 16 minutes, it like does something in their brain. Like, I don't have that much time. So I really wanted it to come in under 15. There were also 2 sections in the story, one about hiring my best friend Lisa, and one at the very end where I'm hugging my husband, that I got choked up or I cried all but 4 times in the entire time I rehearsed them. I could not believe I would still get that emotional about it, even on the day of the event. And there were a couple times I messaged Helen, the speaker coach, and I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I didn't mind getting choked up a little, but I didn't want the audience to feel like they had to take care of me or for my voice to crack or anything. Thankfully, that night I did not lose it too much or a breakdown. Ultimately, from the application to the event day, I put 55 hours into it. And yes, I kept track with an app. I did this for a couple reasons. One, because I was just curious, but also when I hear people comment about speakers and say things like, they get paid what to speak for an hour, or they could pay me half that to speak. Well, according to Nancy Duarte, who coaches people on keynotes, a brand new 1 hour keynote should take about 90 hours to research and develop content, create the slide deck, and practice the delivery. And I didn't even have slides for most of it. I probably like 10 slides is all I had. Plus, speakers are always building on it based on what's working and what's not with the audience. And a seasoned speaker will know how much story to include, how to engage an audience, and how to deliver effectively. And just like your favorite band doesn't write the song on stage or write and rehearse for just a few hours to do a one-hour set, neither do speakers. The day before the event, I received the most beautiful flowers from two of my Raider Code productivity specialists, Judith and Elizabeth. And that was my first insight into just how much people were rooting and excited for me. I received texts and Voxers the day of the event. And the morning of the event, our concierge, Lisa, who's also my bestie, pulled into my driveway at 7:30 a.m. with a unicorn carrot cake, because we have a unicorn joke, and Power Bites, and a beautiful card. She creates and handwrites things on cards that I don't even try to compete. They're just always amazing. My friend Lily called and said the most beautiful prayer for me, which made me just sob with gratitude. I couldn't even think about it the rest of the day or I'd start to ugly cry. My husband left late in the morning so I could have some alone time. But between you and me, I watched 20 minutes of Game of Thrones because I just needed to decompress. And then hair, makeup, and clothing. So clothes at TEDx is pretty business casual. And their recommendation is something you would wear to a retreat. And one of my other best friends, Michelle Scarcolino, who is my hairstylist and makeup artist, she also designs and creates clothes. And we found some of the coolest, funkiest fabric. And I first had her make me pants and was going to keep the top simple. And in the last week, we switched to the funky jacket and kept the pants plain. And I added in some pink iridescent shoes and I just felt amazing. She did my hair and makeup and I just felt amazing when I went on that stage. I had so many comments about my outfit and I was so proud to say it was custom made by my friend, and I cannot wait until the first time I wear the whole suit because it is just, it's just incredible. Anyway, so 3 hours before I went on stage, I put 2 Oracote Xyla melts in my mouth. And you can just get these on Amazon and they'll be in the show notes. But after seeing 3 professional speakers in the previous month get dry mouth during their TEDx talks, I did not want to take any chances. It is so wild how different TED is. I was more relaxed when speaking to 100 Emiratis in Dubai or in front of 3,000 people. But the Xyla melts are these little discs and you push it up into your gum on one side of your mouth and they just dissolve over 3 or 4 hours and they just give you more saliva. And so I put it in a couple hours before I spoke. They dissolved just enough, you know, by the time I went on and had no problems. The hour before I spoke, we had a speaker green room, but I had to find a quiet place in the hallway because, and this is for the speakers out there, because it's just kind of funny. There were students that were on the TEDx committee in the green room just playing hangman. It was very distracting. It was not for the speakers at all. It was really just a place for the TEDx crew that didn't have a role to just hang out. And thankfully, I had brought a root beer Olipop, which is my favorite drink, and a small snack because the green room had no water either for the speakers. And the snacks were potato chips and Oreos. So like 2 terrible things to eat, salt and Oreos before you go on stage. The event room itself was challenging because it was long and narrow. And this means that in the video, if you're trying to engage both, you know, the whole audience, in video, it looks like your head's on a swivel because you're looking so far to the right and left to engage the far sides of the room. And I've had video that I've just not even been able to use from other events because of this looking back and forth so much that you end up not even looking so much in the middle. So because the video from TED is so essential to be able to have that video. I just pretended I had one of those cones that dogs wear on their head, and I only looked out about that much. I never looked at the table. I had a table with my husband, my speaker coach, and some of my, you know, closest, dearest friends. And they were in my eyesight, but I would not look at them because I was afraid I would break down and cry. The lighting was weird in that there wasn't any lighting. There wasn't a spotlight. It was just like, you know, lights. And so it was actually hard for me to see my transition slides because they were purple in between each slide. And it really had a feeling of like a corporate business meeting. So that was feedback I gave them to just make it feel better for the audience that they're seeing something special. And just as kind of a funny, when I went on stage, the person running the slides had left to go to the bathroom and didn't tell anyone. So I had to wait a few seconds. And but yes, folks, you can wait until you're ready to go. Overall, I'm really happy with how it turned out. You know, as a speaker, there are things I would critique myself on, and I have, but that's my job, and it's really important to me to improve always. But given the emotional content, when the tears threaten to spill, you know, I feel like I did, you know, I'm just really happy with it. And the most important part was that it connected with the audience, and it did. And people laughed when they were supposed to, some even cried. And so my lessons earned, I have two of those. I should have made it very clear I wanted the lights down so it didn't feel like a business meeting. And there was, I would have brought a mirror to sit up against a chair or something in the front so I could see where I was on my slides, because what I did not want to do as a speaker is, there was no confidence monitor, for those of you who know what that is. I did not want to turn my head and look back at my slides. I don't feel that that looks very good. My smartest decisions, hiring Helen Moses to help me craft it and still keep it very authentic to me. I'm going to an Airbnb to rehearse and get in the right headspace. Having that custom jacket made because I felt like a rock star. And using the xylitol melts. Afterward, I was overwhelmed with comments from friends, audience members, clients, other speakers. I had over 20 people in the audience that I knew personally. My favorite quote was, "That was an emotional roller coaster everyone needs to ride on." I loved that quote. My husband, who hasn't seen me speak in at least 5 years, said I was astounding. And he was so proud of me. And I'm getting emotional even saying this in my podcast episode. Ultimately, this was for him. It was for me to put some things out there, but it was also very much for him. And it was so important that he got to hear that message. Okay, get a hold of yourself, Marcy. I also got compliments on my delivery and comedic timing, which was, that was a really cool thing to get compliments on, because I actually watch a lot of stand-up and study how they deliver. And I had people messaging me days later saying the impact it had on them and how they were reevaluating their lives. And one of my friends actually just texted me minutes before I recorded this podcast episode. And her text said, "I told a couple of people in the last few days how watching your talk was like watching someone that the whole world should know." And yes, I'm crying because I was just taken aback by it. The entire weekend was just filled with ugly cries, And I'm 5 days out, and you can see that I'm still very emotional about it. I'm recording this well before it's going to go live as a podcast episode because I want to wait to put it out when my TEDx comes out, but I want to record it while I'm still feeling the moment. But I had so many ugly cries over that weekend because I left a personal voice message, text, or sent an email to every person that I knew that I'd seen in the audience. And then they would respond, or they had already, sent something, and I would just be waterworks crying. From a business perspective, using the video to market the why behind my how will be a great asset for business. Building the workshop to go along with the keynote will allow me to work with any group on discovering where they have unsustainable goals in their lives, determining whether they are living in alignment with what they say their priorities are, and figuring out why they are waiting to focus on certain health issues and relationships. So I'll let you watch the video and see what I mean by the relentless pursuit of more. And I would so much love and appreciate if you responded in the video comments on your more. If you have an unsustainable goal you've been carrying, or if the talk impacted your life in any way. And if you would like to have this keynote and or a workshop delivered at your next event, please reach out via our website at helloraiderco.com. And together, we can break the cycle of unsustainable goals to prioritize health, relationships, and what truly matters. Thank you for listening to the Raider Co. Health Powered Productivity Podcast. The show notes link to any resources mentioned. If you found this podcast valuable, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone you know who could benefit. For more bite-sized tips, our top recommendations, and to learn more about working with myself and the Raider Co. team, from consulting and coaching to speaking and more, visit helloraiderco.com.